welcome you to the grander settings of the Oak Room. It's not a palindrome, but it's the 22nd of November 2022, so yeah. It looks the same back to front on my piece of paper. Welcome to Stafford Council's Cabinet meeting of 22nd November, and we start the agenda, please. Are you happy that I sign the minutes of the 3rd of November as published as an accurate record?
Aye.
Thank you. We have one current apology. Councillor Beattie is unwell, so she is apologised. We don't have any questions, and there is only one item on this evening's agenda, which is a very large document headed Business Case for Shared Services. And so I'm going to take some time to go through the detail. So I've set up a long report, and you're going to have to forgive me if I either repeat myself or you can't hear me, but hopefully the microphone will be very clear. I just want to start off by making a couple of comments about shared services generally. Looking around the room, and in fact noting as I do the makeup of Canon Chase District Council's cabinet, only myself and Councillor Smith remain of those cabinet members from both authorities since we started sharing services very many years ago. And I just make that point simply because that helps to illustrate such a long period of time in terms of the shared services that both authorities have undertaken. As I said, there's a great deal of detail. I have entered my 20th year as a councillor, and I say that because this report and its direction is obviously one of the most complex and significant decisions to face the local authority during that period. And so I am going to move around to different pages and paragraphs of the report. It looks like I'm flitting around, but I hope that it's obvious from what I do that there is some sort of order to it. And so, first of all, I want to read to you, and I will read to you, the words of paragraph 5.16 on page 9. The wider sharing of services and a leadership team will not be a merger of the two councils. It will be a sharing of the management and staff resource, working together to find the best way to deliver good services to our communities. I want to repeat some of those words. Will not be a merger of the two councils. And then moving on, both authorities will continue to be two sovereign bodies with differences in policies now. Sovereignty maintained through our respective democratic processes and constitutions, which are different, will, if the move goes ahead, we will retain our own civic offices, our own identities, our own websites, our own telephone numbers. But we'll have joint governance arrangements so that they effectively oversee the implementation and ongoing management of the arrangements that we have. So I've deliberately taken a little bit of time just to stress that this is not a merger, that each council will retain its own sovereignty and identity and its own contact details and so on. And I hope that that dispels one of the most significant things really to come out of the concerns, if that's what they were, expressed by members and so on. So, can I just go back to the beginning? The report starts on page 3, and this cabinet, I'm assuming that it proceeds, will go on to ask our authority, the council, that we approve a wider sharing of services, including the shared chief executive and leadership team. And that would be a sharing of all services except housing services, because as we know, Camp Chase Council have a separate housing revenue account, and Stafford Council transferred out its housing stock in the late 2000s to the 2000s. We would not be sharing the management of the housing registers of both councils, and for a number of reasons, practical and so on, we would not be sharing the management and delivery of elections. The council is then going to be asked to approve a management structure which is set out later on in the business case part of the report, which has one chief executive as the head of public service, two deputy chief executives, one of which would be a section 151 officer, and as an aside, I'm delighted that we have very recently engaged section 151 monitoring officer at Stafford, and he starts in December. And seven heads of service. And of itself, just that restructure of itself would give rise to a financial saving of about £88,000. The report goes on to talk about delegating various authorities and proposes to establish two boards, a joint strategic shared services board and a joint operations shared services board. So, as we know, our chief executive, Tim Clegg, who is sat on my left hand side, has effectively been a joint chief executive for a period in excess of 12 months. And he and his team have undertaken a significant amount of work in relation to these proposals and exploring whether or not these proposals are appropriate. And I just want to publicly thank Tim and his team for that. It's easy to say in words that a lot of hard work has gone into this. But a lot of work, hard work has gone into this, and I know this is by no means a straightforward task at all. And if we proceed down any road, we face moving forward a lot of hard work. So the drivers, particularly, and the reasons behind the recommendations of chief executive and leadership team are various, and the summary of which is set out on page 5. So, without going into that detail too much, I'll just take headlines. And so, we're aware that, in fact, not just recently, but over a number of years, there's been a reduction in funding from government, and that that will not change. I think it's also right to say that there is uncertainty in relation to the business rates reset and also the reduction in new homes bonus. And those three issues, amongst other things, have affected the manner in which all local authorities are able to take their services to local population forward. And so it's right that because of those financial pressures, we need to consider alternatives. In relation to Stafford and Cannock, both authorities are currently facing deficits, and those deficits are summarised in the papers. Two things I should say there. Firstly, that's not an uncommon theme throughout local authorities nationwide. And secondly, and as just as importantly, the proposals in relation to shared services amount to a contribution to the savings options and how we might address these deficits. They're not the whole answer, and so it's important to say that concurrently with those considerations, this authority, as others, are faced with having to make decisions about other savings options. And so, I guess that they're the big headliners in relation to the reasons behind it, but there are other things which are just as important. So, there are issues, again, not uncommon with other authorities around capacity, around resilience. Whenever this authority seeks to recruit, it is almost usually the case that we are in competition with other local authorities, and that's not the fault of anybody, that's just that the supply and demand in terms of the type of people who want to recruit the authority is the wrong way around. And so demand is outstripping supply at the moment. And then of course once you recruit somebody, you want to keep them. And so for those reasons, a restructuring is also something that's been looked at. So having looked at those particular drivers, and of course it's important to say that none of this would have been possible, not just without the hard work and support of officers, but taking the will of the employees of the council with us on that journey. It's important that they thoroughly understand the proposals, that they have the opportunity to make representations. And I know that Tim and his team have undertaken many, many, many discussions and consultations, both publicly in groups and privately. The phrase, my door is always open, would not be inappropriate in this state position, because Tim has made it very clear that he will talk to anyone who wants to raise concerns or discuss things through with him. But having done those initial exercises and brought those things through, broadly speaking, after developing the business case, putting it crudely, the benefits of sharing services outweigh the risks. Nobody is saying that it's not risk-free, but on balance, for those reasons and for many further reasons that are elaborated in the report and that I'll touch on in a moment or two, that's why the proposal is put on the basis that we continue. So it's gone. going to be a full sharing arrangement between our councils, and it is considered by a ward that have looked at all the options that it's the best opportunity to maximise the benefits that the light sharing services might bring about. So, I've already touched on what might happen, and I said at the beginning that Councillor Smith and I were the only two cabinet members that started out on the role of shared services. I see on page 7 that, in fact, the formal collaboration of shared services has been going on for 11 years, yeah. Since 2011. And what that means is that we haven't just come up with the idea of sharing services and looking at this model recently. We've been able, over a number of years, not just to practically share the services, but learn the lessons, both from sharing our own services and also being able to have a long look at how other authorities share their services. And again, broadly speaking, that does demonstrate that shared services and shared senior management does work. So I talked about retaining identity and sovereignty. I touched upon, but I want to emphasise that those who are elected members remain in charge of decision making in their respective councils. If we were to proceed, on balance, it's considered that it would both achieve significant savings financially on an efficiency basis. We'd get to one of the most important goals, which is achieving service improvements for customers, and at the same time, continue to deliver separately both two distinct councils' priorities and projects and so on. And so, the words used in the report are, it is essential to reach those goals effectively that we share as an executive leadership team. I know that Tim has presented and explained the discussions that he and the leadership team have had to the political groups locally, both here in the camp, or in fact has a date in his diary to do that. And there are lots of advantages which are touched on in the report that I will leave Tim to address various political groups and to enable those groups to ask questions of him if they haven't already done so. So, I'm going to skip a few pages and go on to the appendix, which sets out the business case itself. And a lot of what I said I have covered already, but there is a repeat of things like financial pressures, demographic change. And one thing that I haven't mentioned so far that is very apparent from one of the drivers is the prospect of devolution. As you will know, in other areas of the country, there are proposals around elected mayors, possibilities of combining authorities into larger unitary authorities. And so rather than having those things imposed upon us, perhaps it's important just to reflect that if we went down a line that said to central government, look, central government, we are not putting our own house in order, but we are we are preparing ourselves for a more challenging environment in local government, and you keep your hands off, please, because we're already doing all the things that have been asked from us previously and will be asked of us in the future. And we'd rather take our own decisions, thank you very much, rather than have those things imposed upon us. And that is particularly referred to as the levelling up devolution agenda on page 20. Forgive me, I did say it was a long report. So I just wanted to touch upon the financial aspect, and in summary, if I refer to Stafford particularly, you will see that when this report was prepared and the background to this report was considered, there is, generally speaking, as is shown on pages 33 and 34, a projected budget gap, and we have to look at ways in which we might address that. And so, as I said, when this report was began at that time, the budget gap was moving forward for this authority £2 million. And this is against the backdrop of inflation, of coronavirus, of astonishingly high levels of support from central government in terms of the effect of coronavirus and the help that quite rightly has been not just required but delivered to our economy all over the country. And of course latterly, and very sadly for other reasons, the impact of the war in Ukraine. So all those pressures are not just faced by the general public and by businesses generally, they're also faced by public authorities. Local authorities are not immune to all of those pressures, and so it makes it very, very difficult to move forward without taking on perhaps more radical solutions. And as you will see on page 34, there is a separate table that gives an indicative saving of about £1.1 million or thereabouts. And so, on a broad brush basis, that would generate savings of between £500,000 and £600,000 to this authority. And those who look at that figure might say, well, that's a finger in the air job, isn't it? Well, I suppose. Sadly, if I had a crystal ball, I would be able to predict the future, and that's right in one respect. But that figure's arrived at because, as I said, we know from 11 years of having already shared services, and from looking at other local authorities, and looking at the prospective way in which a reorganisation might take place, that in percentage terms, and as you will see at paragraph 6.13 particularly, there is some actual science behind the figure that's proposed. And so, if we move on, you will see further on in the report that there is a structure, a share structure, setting out the sharing of officers and roles, and the management structure, senior management in particular, and a very helpful graph of scheduling on page 46, allocating areas across the local authority to particular heads of service and so on. And of course that's a movable description, but they are initial thoughts, and that sets out how that might proceed. And so I say to you and to those who elect us, because they're the most important people, that this proposal is well thought through in terms of the evidence base that it uses, the historical information that it uses, the length of time that has enabled a considered view about why we might want to take this route. But ultimately, as I said at the beginning, it's not a merger. This is a sovereign authority. It will always remain, as far as this cabinet's concerned, a sovereign authority, and the government's arrangements are there to oversee how we might move forward. And so, as I've said, I think I deserve at least a sip of water after that lengthy report, and I would propose and commit to you the ask set out on pages 3 and 4 by way of the proposal. And Councillor Pullett.
Thank you, Linda, and no doubt you'll be able to take a sip of water. Perhaps
I should have asked for a second.
I will second that.
I'm obliged, Councillor Pullett.
Thank you. Stafford Borough is financially a well-run authority. The peer review said as much. Over the years, the council has taken the difficult decisions over many years to save local taxpayers' money by being innovative, sharing services for the last 10 years or more, and outsourcing them. Those savings in themselves saved local taxpayers £500,000 and £900,000 a year, respectively. We've also delayered our senior leadership team within the council and driven efficiency. So this proposal is really an extension of that, to extend the sharing of services from a third of the council to the majority of council services. I hear no resident complain about how finance at the council works. And why should they? It works effectively. It's been shared for the last 10 years or more. The same can be done for other services. And if we don't need to take taxpayers' money off local residents to run services for them, then why should we? Is it not easier to spend reserves? But once they are spent, they're gone and can't be reused again. And the issue that the council faces is not a one-year problem, it is a structural problem. Back on the 1st of February of this year, the three-year budget showed a £1.7 million deficit in year two, which is effectively next year, growing to £1.85 million in year three and onwards. So this deficit should come as no surprise to anyone on the council. The choices are simple. Reduce frontline services to our residents and become smaller and smaller and smaller with less and less resilience. And then one day we will have nothing left but a few commissioners of services. Now, responding to COVID in that scenario would be extraordinarily interesting. Or we can grow the base, become more resilient and financially stable over the long term. Finding £2 million, the latest predicted budget gap, won't be easy. But not taking the £600,000 available through sharing services would be a failure of leadership, of not recognising why people elected us to take the difficult decisions on their behalf. We're not merging councils. This council remains a sovereign body. But on the day when Croydon, a Labour-run council, issues a Section 114 notice to stop all non-statutory spending and to ignore a £600,000 efficiency saving would be irresponsible and go against all the hard work and sound financial management of the past decade or two. The principle of shared services has been established, after all, nearly a decade ago. Looking another way, for our staff, it can be a scary thought, but it will be a good journey. It will help with attracting the best talent and retaining it. It will help with career development and long-term career planning and career paths. We will be an employer of choice in a difficult labour market which probably won't improve significantly for the next 5 or 10 years. We've seen the direct impact of missing key personnel at a time of significant workforce pressure. No one wants that, so building resilience in the organisation is a strategic ambition of this plan. This plan allows the Borough Council to sail in some choppy waters and retain control of its direction and frontline services. I also note the Local Government Association's independent review of the proposals and the business case, and endorses this direction of travel, and as a result, I support the proposals. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Winnington.
Thank you, Leader. This is an incredibly important point for Staffordshire Council. At the end of the day, we're here to provide a service that delivers for our residents' needs. And I believe this is something that we should be following in terms of this report. Two of the main priorities for me are on this, bearing in mind the fact that we've got to provide that service, is the fiscal management of the authority. We've got to be in a good position to provide that services, and we've also got, at the moment, growing pressure for devolution from central government, as the Leader quite rightly pointed out earlier. One of the paragraphs that really stands out for me is on page 30, and that's as a result of research that's been done by officers about other authorities that have done the same. And please remember, Morelands have done this for the last 10 or 15 years quite successfully, and continue to deliver service for those residents. But what I'd just like to just very quickly read out 3 points from that, because it's a long report, but it's picking out the best bits of the report. The top 3 points on 4.12 are: the research concluded that councils who share management teams do retain their sovereignty, and elected members of such councils remain in charge of decision making in their respective districts. For me, that's incredibly important. The second point is, councils do share management teams successfully. And finally, theoretical savings have turned out to be real, very important, and often greater than predicted. Now, those three sentences for me are incredibly important. I feel, having listened to all the evidence that has been put forward by officers and particularly by Tim Clegg to us, is sensible, and I will be backing this proposal. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Smith.
Thank you, Leader. Councillor Pert said the the peer review says that we are a well-run council. I can tell you that in the audit report that we discussed at Audit and Accounts last week, our auditors say Stafford Borough Council has performed well in managing its financial position in recent years, and this continued in 2021. Despite ongoing uncertainty around funding in the medium term and the challenges posed by COVID, the authority has made a relatively strong financial position, it goes on. For me, it's the tables on 33 and 34 which matter. We presented a budget last year and we showed a deficit, or potential deficit, and on those tables, the only thing that we knew that was going to happen was the reduction in new homes bonus. Since then, the increase in pay has gone across to 600,000, the general inflation on cost 200,000, and inflation on utilities 300,000. Those were not known about when we did the budget last year. We still have the uncertainty of a business rates reset, but hopefully that assumptions that were built in last year will stay the same this year. For me, this is a logical step. We have been sharing services for 11 years, and as I recall, our previous officer, Malcolm Vickers of this authority, was very much behind getting the governance in order. And this has saved us over £1 million between the two councils every year. Many of these shared services do now fall into my portfolio. Not at the time when we did it, but they do now. HR and IT, legal, finance and audit and accounts. I have not had any real problems with any of these departments, any issues over those years as a result of shared services. I think it's worthwhile pointing out the advantage we got when we merged with Cannock with our finance and revenues and benefits team. We inherited Bob Keane, an excellent officer, and I think that was agreed across the piece. And we've got Rob Wolfe in revenues and benefits, who over this last 12, 18 months has had to do totally different work in preparing projects and business cases and schemes in order to pay the government's money out to businesses. That was completely unexpected, and he did an excellent job in doing so. We also have audit and accounts led by Judith and Stephen, and again, there have been no problems that I know about. Most of the other things I've noted down have been said, but I'll just repeat, central government looks for elected mayors and large unitaries. If we stay as we are, nobody will listen to us. We need to become part of a bigger organisation, and this is a step in the right direction. Unless, as I say, if we stay as we are, we'll just lose out. So I have no reason to believe that the sharing of these further services will be any more difficult. In fact, it would just be as easy, because we've done it, than we've been doing for the last 11 years. So I wholeheartedly support the process.
Thank you, everybody. Well, that brings to an end the discussion. Could I ask your support in relation to the proposal set out in this report? Thank you. So that brings to an end the current meeting for 2nd of November. Thank you very much.